This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, go to nature.com/nature/podcast.
There was a sort of a bit of a race who would get there first. Of course, NASA then got these same chips on the International Space Station.
This is Becky Parker. She's a visiting professor at Queen Mary University of London, and she's talking about her students' race with NASA to get some redesigned CERN technology up into space.
Actually, we managed to fly this technology in open space first. We're now about to get publishable work out of that.
The experiment in question was designed by her students and monitors cosmic rays. It utilised some CERN technology called Medipix chips. Putting any experiment into orbit is a significant achievement for a research group. The thing which makes Becky's group stand out, though, is that her students were in high school when they designed it.
You probably think it's... I'm making this up, but I'm certainly not. That actually, this was students saying, why don't we use that technology from CERN in space?
You see, although she does hold a professorship at university, first and foremost, Becky is a high school science teacher. In fact, she was one of my teachers when I was at school.
What a joy that was, no.
Since teaching me, however, Becky has moved on to much bigger things. And now she's the
director of the Institute for Research in Schools.
The Institute for Research in Schools, or IRIS for short, is a small charity with the goal of helping young people and teachers contribute to novel research.
We feel passionately that there's huge potential in young people and that they can engage more with what science is really about if they are part of that community.
Becky was only just starting with her various initiatives when I was at school, and I didn't really get involved at the time. So I spoke to someone who did.
My name is Pete Hatfield. I work at the Clarendon Laboratory in the University of Oxford. My first kind of experience doing research science, I was very lucky to be involved in several very interesting projects when I was in sixth form.
Sixth form is a name given to the last 2 years of high school in the UK, between the ages of 16 and 18.
Which I eventually ended up submitting to a peer-reviewed journal and getting published whilst I was in sixth form.
Peter thinks that his experience of being a teenage researcher helped him on his journey to university and beyond.
I think it was probably less, though, that they kind of looked at my personal statement and saw, oh, he's done these projects, that looks great. It was probably more that doing those projects gave me the confidence and kind of reasoning skills that I kind of seemed like a good candidate in interviews and so on. So I think it's probably more the skills I gained rather than just the fact that I'd done them.
Becky formed her charity, IRIS, to try to provide this kind of opportunity to all students.
The vision of IRIS is that science education is about doing science in the same way that a music education would be about playing an instrument and being involved in the real process of music, not just learning about stuff which has gone before.
But is it as simple as that?
I think it's sensible. I think it depends on the context.
That's Terry McGlynn, a biologist at Cal State Dominguez Hill. In 2013, he published an article on his blog entitled Why I Don't Take High School Students Into My Lab.
In the US, it's a very class-based phenomenon. So usually in the US, the opportunities to be able to work in a university laboratory for a high school student are provided to students who are wealthier.
Now, that's not to suggest that Terry thinks there's anything about teenagers which means they're not capable of doing research.
Well, that just sounds fundamentally silly to me. I think there's a lot of 40-year-old men who are PIs of labs who don't have the characteristics that are required to do original research. So what is it that's missing from a 16-year-old that, you know, I don't even see where that would come from.
But nonetheless, he feels that he has an obligation to his undergraduates first and foremost.
My university's role in the community is to serve the underserved. And so actually our university was moved to its current location because the community of South LA didn't have a university. And so if there's like, you know, a rich kid from a prep school in the rich part of town who wants to be in my lab so he could like go to Harvard for undergraduate, well, that goes against the interests of my own undergraduates.
It's important to note here that the model that Terry is talking about of taking individual high school students into a lab to give them work experience is not the same as projects which aim to engage teenagers more widely with novel research. Terry's feelings towards that kind of work were actually quite different.
If there's a scheme, you know, especially if it's funded, where, you know, we could work with multiple teachers, design projects so that we can have, you know, whole high school classes involved in original research, I think that's awesome.
But Terry's concerns are still important to consider. Is this concept of novel research in schools something which can really be accessible for all students? Research can be expensive. Grants don't necessarily cover collaborations with teenagers. Will this not just become a project for the economic elite? Becky doesn't think so.
No, I think that's actually where Iris comes in. Sometimes, you know, if you're doing an in-depth project with the university, that might cost a lot. One of the things we have been absolutely determined to do is make scalable projects. I think the key thing here is Iris is not about creating new projects which are suitable for young people. It's about seeing where young people can contribute. And in those cases, we're not adding to grants. We're actually trying to help the research institutes and the universities by having another wing, sort of having another arm to their operations.
Becky is adamant that these programmes aren't just for the intellectual elite either.
So we're not just talking about stretching those high flyers. We're talking about empowering students of all abilities to realise that they have something to contribute.
There have been about 10 papers published linked to Iris-led research, and there are more in the pipeline. Iris has more than 500 schools signed up to their model, and they're collecting data on its efficacy. So far, they're seeing significant increases in academic achievement correlated with research projects, as well as an increase in the number of students continuing to study science, technology, engineering, or maths at university. But Iris is only 2 years old, and time will tell how successful it or other initiatives like it will be in the longer term. I wonder, will you be collaborating with teenagers anytime soon?
That was a report by Noah Baker. It featured Becky Parker from Iris, Peter Hatfield from the University of Oxford, and Terry McGlynn of California State University, Dominguez Hills.